Welcome to the Primrose Lane podcast, the real paranormal events that inspired the making of the feature film Primrose Lane and the ongoing series The Passage. If you're just joining us, welcome, but we ask you to stop right there and go back to the beginning. If you go to the Primrose Lane movie Facebook page and you scroll down, you'll find in the most recent episode, in the comments section, you'll find the links to all of the previous episodes, and this is a serial chronological story we're telling. So please go back to the beginning and catch up. And for those of you who have been along for the ride, welcome back. This week, we are joined with Sean Galushka, who plays Ewald in the film, and Pamela Beatty, our normal co-host, paranormal specialist. Good morning, both of
Good
you.
Morning.
Good morning.
And if you've followed along, you know that we have had this dark entity who's interfered in a number of the podcasts. And you know from the reveal session that we were really shocked to find when Pamela did her investigation, she basically gave a character breakdown of a character in the film, which is the character that Sean plays. Now, the way Sean works as an actor, I'm going to let him jump in and elaborate a little bit. Part of his method is he does not want to know what he shouldn't know as that character in the moment. So he didn't want to read the whole script. He only wanted it up until the point that he should be informed as an actor. Do you want to jump on board and explain anything more about the way, you know, your process in approaching a role, Sean?
Sure. It changes with each and every project for me, I think. But for this one especially, for some reason, I just felt it was best for me to only know what Ewald would know. Mm-hmm. He's got a guy who seems to have a lot going on in his mind. And so for me to be aware of the rest of the script, to be aware of what other characters are doing in the next room when I'm not present, it didn't seem pertinent in my approach to this role. It didn't seem important to me. I wanted to be as truthful in the moment as possible. So what Ewald didn't know, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And that made it easier to just be in the moment and be truthful.
And we spent a lot more time in rehearsal for the film discussing the backstory of all of the characters. We sat down and we really delved into where they came from and where their relationships started. And as we move forward, I don't want to give plot spoilers, but Sean's character becomes really the male lead for the first season, the principal male character for the first season. And he's an extremely dark and complex character. Now, as you know, if you've followed along, we came to find that much of what I had conceived for this character and written in the treatment and the preparation for this character to continue, when Pamela did her investigation, she actually tapped into what was almost like a character breakdown or a little bit of a plot summary of some of the things that I was hitting upon. And we want to talk about that today with Sean. And just as Sean, as an actor, doesn't like to know more than he should in the moment, Sean really knows very little about this. He's just getting dialed
in. You're better
off,
trust me.
He's a little naive in this, and this is going to be the beauty and excitement of it. So,
well, and generally, I might add that when I see or feel something kind of a negative energy, even if it's like someone standing in line for a concert, I can pick up on it and be like, yeah, I don't need to be over here. Right. I'm not one of those people who gets attracted to that. I'm kind of like, oh, I see that and not really part of mine, so no thanks.
But the interesting thing about that is, obviously, as a director, and I've had this conversation with Sean several times just as an actor, that I see him as having this dark mystique. So it's interesting that he very deliberately, you know, wants to veer away from it. And yet when I see him, I've like typecast him there somehow.
Most people have, yeah. I play the quote-unquote bad guy quite often. But what I like to do and what I always do with the bad guy is I come from a place of love. Mm-hmm. Because even people who are engaged in and doing horrible things sometimes, unless there's some real mental issues to preclude them from understanding what love is, I think that most acts come, especially big acts, come from a place of love, and you have to find that even in the darker characters in order to play them truthfully.
Well, this is ultimately what makes Sean such a riveting actor, and what makes this character so interesting is that it's not the straight up bad guy. He's extremely complex. But I want to come back to the actual events. When Sean came into the project, Sean was at a one of the darker hours of his life, and had experienced some great family loss. And so he came into it from a place of hurt. And then Sean and I, through the course of the film, there were three people in the cast and crew, at least to my awareness, there were three people who suffered extreme hardship, let's say, during production and post-production of the film. And they were myself and Sean and a very young crew member who we lost in post-production, who had an undiagnosed heart condition. And he went very quickly and unexpected. And it was his dream to be in film production. And this was his first, to him, you know, real film that he was working on. He was on our EPK, or behind the scenes crew. So in this episode, and we might end up with a bonus episode on this one, we're going to talk about Sean and some of his, what was going on in his life. And we want Pamela's interpretation of, you know, how all of these things sort of merge, and how the energies at play work, since we've talked so much about darkness and giving power to it and how one thing can impact the other. And we would also love to, you know, to briefly touch, we've talked about me, we don't need to talk about me, but in terms of Sean and this other crew member who we lost, we would love to see if anything comes to you, Pamela. And if it doesn't, we never fill in what's not there. But that's going to be our focus of the episode. So starting with Sean and Pamela, at any time, because I know things come to you as they do.
Yeah, they do.
You can interrupt and steer us.
Yes, they do. So,
but
keep talking.
But let's start with Sean. I want to take you back, and I hope, Sean, that you can remember and sort of recreate a little bit of this for us. There was one day in particular, not that there weren't a number of times where I was concerned about Sean, because we had him in this dark role and in the house, as we've discussed, kind of had an energy of its own. And I was concerned, especially because he was already going through a dark time in his life. But there was one day in particular where he showed up for work, and on the way there, he had one hell of an experience. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sean?
Yeah, I do.
Do you mind sharing that?
That's okay. I'll share it.
Okay.
I was driving to set, and I was thinking about Evolt quite a bit, like I like to do. I like to daydream about my characters and their past so that I can sort of bring those experiences to the work that I'm doing. It's sort of like doing push-ups. And if you do push-ups, you don't get out on the basketball court and start doing push-ups. You just play the game. So my push-ups are imagining characters' lives and events in their lives. And I was thinking a lot about Evolt. And while I was driving on the freeway to the set a couple of exits before, I don't know how else to describe it, except that I felt like there were many, many, probably 75 to 80 mini clawing souls, like children or younger people, maybe even infants. I sort of equated this with my theory that Evolt was involved in many, my character was involved in many, what do you call them? Not miscarriages, abortions, yeah, yes. Helping. So in that way, I believe that he believed he was a humanitarian, mm-hmm. And was doing things for the right reason, but that somehow, and this is all what was happening in my car, I was thinking these things. These are all the souls from the past that Evolt had ushered out, quote-unquote, too soon, or in whatever manner he did that might not have been the right way. Sort of clawing at him, sort of coming back to him. And it was a terrible, haunted feeling. It was a very powerful swarm. I can describe it, I think, as a swarm. Didn't see anything, didn't hear anything, felt everything. To the point where I was screaming in my car. Now, this is not very safe to do when driving on the freeway. So I started trying to breathe in order to stop screaming and to get myself out of this, you know. And in doing so, I was sort of engaged in a very long, what seemed to be a silent scream, or a very long sort of expulsion of air that felt like it was helping it dissipate, like me sort of, you know, roaring it away, the lion's roar, even though it was silent. and just slowly letting that, whatever it was I drove through or whatever it was I sort of passed through of his history, letting it dissipate as I got to set, and then telling you about it when I got there.
Well, and interestingly, because, and we'll share with you, Sean, since this is all new to you, one of the things that's been shared by the investigators and a number of people who came to the house was their experience upon arrival at the house, and that they had a very distinct sense of the house and it having sort of a life of its own, and sensing it, especially for the sensitives who were involved, that they sensed it before they actually, as they were approaching the house, before they actually arrived there, that was its, you know, it had a pretty strong reach in terms of its energy. Now, I don't want to discuss the actual location, but Sean's experience hit about one or two exits, is that right, before the exit that you take to get to the house?
Yeah, one or two exits prior, which would be west of the house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Pamela, coming to you, are you picking up anything?
Oh yeah,
at all?
I know exactly
okay,
what it was.
I'm just going to let you. I'm going to let you tell us.
I would love to know.
Yeah. Okay. So you were thinking about this character, which drew him to you, because whenever you have thoughts of a, and he was a real person. Do you know what I mean?
Well, hold on. Can I pause you for a second? Because Sean doesn't know. So Sean, you need to know now.
Uh-oh. Sorry about that.
Is that, and our listeners know, so you're the last guy to arrive at the party for this one.
Yeah,
Sean.
I am.
So in the investigations, both paranormal teams picked up on this guy that Pamela, and she was the first to, like I said, really profile him and essentially described Ewald. And in his profession, that he worked at an asylum, that he himself had his own mental issues, that he was very sexually charged. Through the investigations, he literally touched women in their groin and girl parts. And I don't mean Ewald, I mean this energy, to be clear. It wasn't Sean. But so we then came to find out, and Pamela did the first investigation. So then when the scientific-based team, who had an historian, came and really researched the house and did their investigation, we found that there was an asylum that was 30 yards from our back door, and that many people died over at the time that it burned down. And over 40,000 patients had come through, and many died. It was also a tuberculosis ward.
30 yards in the back?
Yes.
If you go to the backyard and go straight out 30 yards?
Correct. You could, in fact, the historian showed us pictures where you can see the front door entrance of the asylum, and you can see it right behind the house. It's a picture of the house in the foreground, and you can see the entrance to the asylum. So this was the energy field that was in that space. And when Pamela tapped into this guy for the first time, she described him as having worked at the asylum, probably as a doctor, and that he was engaged in a lot of experimentation. Now, Sean knows, in the way that we built the structure of his character and what they were involved in and how both of our characters, what they were engaged in, and we don't want to give away plot spoilers. Sean's given a hint of it, but we don't want to give away too many plot spoilers. But let's just say that there's a lot of what to Sean's character is in his mind well-intentioned, and we all have our own truth, so perhaps he is not of sound mind as a character, but in his mind, as you said, it all comes from a place of love. But nonetheless, it's dark, and it has very dark consequences, ultimately,
well,
in the
crazy
story.
Crazy people don't know they're crazy.
Right, right. So now we've caught Sean up to speed.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And Pamela can resume, so he has a clue.
Please.
Okay, so you're tapping into this very real guy. You didn't know he was a real guy, but you're bringing him into your energy space. So I'll give you the brevity of it, but you were tapping into his subconscious mind. All of the things you experienced, he experienced. Everything that you, I'm getting goosebumps. You stay away. Don't you dare come. So the children, the screams, the hollers, that was all things. Here he is again. Jerk off. So those were all things you experienced. And you were literally, you know, there is the subconscious mind knows no space and time. So as far as the subconscious is concerned, everything that has ever happened is happening right now. So you tapped into the matrix disappeared, and you tapped into his life and what really happened, and it was all in his subconscious. So you were melding in with his subconscious mind. So you saw exactly what happened, and you heard the screams. It's like, it was like a past life, only it was real. It was in that moment in time. And so your moment in time was gone, and you were reliving his moments in time.
Okay.
That's literally what was going on. Because I saw him come, when you were thinking about how he would be, you drew him to you, and much like he just grabbed my throat, he grabbed your mind.
Yeah.
And you were literally reading his mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I remember telling Kathleen when I got to set, I was like, I didn't...
By the way, I just need to say, when Sean got to set... unintentional four-letter word. When Sean got to set, he was shaking. His eyes were filled with tears.
I bet.
I mean, he... Yeah.
I had not experienced anything that... big. I mean, I'm pretty sensitive to stuff. Like I said, I sense people's energy and things like that, and I know when to stay away. Now that I'm older, I know when to stay away. When I was
even
younger,
more now.
No,
yeah.
When I was younger, I'd be like, "What's this about? Ooh, weird." But this was something that I had not experienced before, and I was very confused when I got to set. I remember being very confused and very afraid, and like, "What the fuck is going on? What the heck is going on?" I don't know if we can say that on a
podcast.
Okay, great.
It's a podcast. Fabulous.
But yeah, I was really, really shaken up by it. And I thought that it was just me getting very, I call this, I'll do it once in a while. I'll get quote unquote freaky on myself, mm-hmm. which means I'll go someplace and sort of, I don't know, see or experience other things. It's just an imaginative mind. It's my actor mind, blah, blah, blah. But this was a little different. This was, it didn't feel like my imagination.
It wasn't. You were literally picking up on his cellular memory. Now, as an actor, you know about cellular memory.
Yeah.
And you can bring in any character, and any character that has ever lived the kind of life that the writer wrote about, that actor is going to bring to them that type of character, that type of cellular memory. And sometimes it's yourself from past lives, but this was a real person. And that's why it was so scary. Yeah.
All right. On that note, we have to cut this episode to an end, but we're going to come back with Sean in our next episode because we still have more to talk about. Thank you, Sean.
Should I say thank you?
Thanks for having me in. Tune in next week to see if Sean's going to remain in the cast or if he's going to quit.
We're here all week.
Goodbye. Thank you for listening.